Okay, shalom. We're on Piska Lamed Vav, 36 of Shabbat, Mesechet Shabbat, Daf Yud Aleph. And going at a good pace. This is our 36th class. Rabbi Yoshua Brei Deravidi, Ikla Lebe Rav Ashi. We'll go through the Agarata again. The famous rabbi, Rabbi Yoshua Brei Deravidi, came to visit Rav Ashi. Abdulay Igla Tilta, they made this delicacy, which we explained. Amrulay Lito Marmidi, they said to him, please taste something. Amar Lehu, when we spoke last time, Rav Kook explained the difference between eating and tasting. Amar Lehu Batanita Yativna, he said, I'm sitting in a fast. And the question is, what is the term sitting in a fast? This is a term which we find throughout Chazal, but Rav Kook, in his genius, he's the first one that I ever saw that actually deals with the term. Why do does one sit in a fast? Why don't you just fast? Amalei b'tanit yativna. Hatanit b'tzurata hashlema tzicha shetifol al kol kochot ha'adam l'romaman. A fast, when it is done in its full form, should influence and should activate all of the kochot, all of the energies, all of the aspects of a person in order to elevate them. To strengthen the idealistic, the moral side, the spiritual side, Shabba Adam, mipnei achomriyut shitgabra alav. Because sometimes we have a tendency to overdo things physically. Right? This is something that we've spoken about in the past, that Kadosh Baruch Hu, our Father in Heaven, He loves us, He wants us to have pleasure, and therefore He created the physical world in a pleasureful way. Not that it's bad, but you just have to be careful not to overdo it. And to find the exact balance is obviously something which is inevitably going to be difficult. And that's why the Torah calls once a year for a fast. The rabbis added on several other fast days. But in fact, a person can add on additional fasts every time he wants to rise to a higher level spiritually and to play down the physical aspects, which he thinks may be being stressed too much. But what Rav Kook is stressing is that a fast is not just don't eat. Okay, the idea of sitting in a fast, the Tanit Yativna, I'm sitting in a fast, is that that a person has to get his whole being into the fast. Not just that you go to work, and you do everything that you do on a regular day, you just wake up a little early because davening's a little longer, and you don't eat, right? And you save time. Okay? Rav Kook says very clearly, not. Right. Now, the first thing about fasting, and this is something that's when Esther called for a fast, when Shaul called for a fast before the war, Yehuda Maccabi called for a fast before the war, what's the connection between fasting and tshuva, like we see in Yom Kippur? The idea of, that's the simplest element, the Sefer HaChinuch writes about it, that let's focus on the spiritual instead of the physical, which usually bogs us down, which distracts us, which takes time, which we have a tendency to overstress. Okay, that's the most simple meaning of a fast. Nimtza she'adam tzarich lekabetz et kol nefutzot kochotav urigshotav el tchunat ta'anit. Rav Kook says that the idea of sitting in a fast is that a person should gear all of his efforts, all of his energies, all of the different aspects and his emotions into the fast. He's going to talk about that. Yeah, he's going to talk about that. Yafe. The idea very often, you see somebody for a fast, or even if you talk on the phone in the fast, sometimes you'll hear people say, have an easy fast. Okay? And it's very clear from Rav Kook when we should maybe, if anything, wish each other a helpful fast, a fruitful fast, a meaningful, to get into the fast.
Well, maybe the easy fast means it's an easy fast because you need to get into it.
Okay. Az tifal pu'ulata kara'ui, right? When you really get into the fast with all of your being, not just you don't eat,
this should lighten a person's way in life
from the darkness of over-physicality, which has a tendency to darken our ways. Okay.
Therefore, the term that the rabbis use,
lo mitanana, he doesn't say, I am fasting. Shiyore raka lepu'ula shel shlilat ha'achila. That would infer, okay, I'm not eating. The rabbis don't say that. She'inan nechshevet la'atzma me'uma.
If the idea is just that you're on a diet or that you're eating less, that doesn't help anything. That doesn't build you morally, spiritually.
Ki lo tachpotz torat Hashem ha'tmima. The complete Torah. Besigu is not interested in sigufa adam va'anoto et gufo,
is not interested, like we said before, our Father in heaven is not interested in his children's suffering. And again, that's why there's only one Yom Kippur a year.
Ki im litzad ha-matara shel itromemut kochotav kulam bi'na'aram me'afar gasut ha-chomriyut.
What Hashem is interested in is that we shake off the lower level, the afar, the dirt, the heaviness of the physical world, of overdoing it, in order to rise up.
Hamadbat ba'adam ayidei hatmadat pu'ulotav banotav hagasot agufaniyot,
right, which leave their impression, because we do eat three times a day, and because we do have to wash and sleep, etc., etc., and take care of all these physical things, leave an impression. And to find exactly the point of izun, of the right balance, inevitably is going to be very, very difficult. You're always going to be a little, and our natural tendency is always to overdo it a little in the direction of comfort. That's the norm.
The rabbis talk about bitanit yativna, I'm sitting in a fast, shesharui bo bechol netiotav v'rigshotav,
that I am immersed in the fast with all of my emotions, all of my powers,
leman yitkadshu kulam mikoach ha'tanit, so that all of the
aspects of me should be affected for the good by the fast.
Sheponem bo ha'adam rak litzad nafsho ha'maskelet ulitzad chunotav ha'musariyot.
So that a person should stress the intellectual side on that day instead of the physical side,
chunotav ha'musariyot,
the ethical side. Here Rav Kook may be referring to, there's a halachah hilchot tanit a lot of people aren't familiar with, that you're supposed to give, not only give tzedakah, tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah, obviously everybody knows that you're supposed to repent and give charity and pray on a fast, but how much are you supposed to give? The poskim say, give the amount that you would otherwise be spending on food. Right? In other words, if a person spends, 25, 30 shekel on lunch, that's what he should be giving, and if it's two meals, breakfast and lunch, and if it's three meals, Yom Kippur, right, or Tisha B'Av from the night, that's the amount that you should be giving. And for your wife as well. And by the way, even if your wife, for whatever reason, isn't fasting, if she's pregnant or something like that, she can't fast, so you should be giving that tzedakah anyway.
Even more so.
Yeah, maybe even more so.
Hatovot mimenu ta'anugim ruchaniyim.
Right? The idea is to get into spiritual pleasures.
Chesed ve'emet v'dat Elokim.
What is chesed about? Not only am I not eating, but to get others to eat, to give them to eat.
Well, that's the haskalah of Yom Kippur, and then that talks about the fast, the mirakit fasting without any, without and improvement, especially in the realm of social justice.
Right. The idea of a fast is to do tshuva. Here Rav Kook is alluding to another word, another aspect, where in Hebrew we use the term yishuv. Again, I am sitting in a fast. Yishuv hadat. To have your to be at peace of mind. And again, a lot of times people, when they fast, they're not at peace of mind. And that's a sign. If a person one day isn't eating, that throws him off out of kilt, that's a sign maybe that he's too dependent on the physical, and maybe that he is overdoing it a little.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
But the idea is that a fast should bring a person, not to throw him out of kilt, but to get into yishuv hadad. That's the idea of sitting in a fast, lashevet, to have that peace of mind. V'yamru chazal. V'yavo ha-melech David v'yashav lifnei Hashem. So when David HaMelech comes to pray before Hashem, it says he sits in prayer. Yishev atzmo betfila. Another aspect of lashevet is prayer. That's part of the idea of tachanun, that we davka sit when we say tachanun. That's one of the aspects of sitting. Sorry? That's Amidah. Right, that's the Shmona Esrei, right?
That's tefillah par excellence.
That's one aspect of tefillah. The tachanun, we have three aspects of tefillah. One is bending over, the other is sitting regular, and the third part of tachanun is to stand up. Okay? But one aspect of tefillah is also sitting. By the way, a lot of people don't know, the Rambam in Hilchot Tefillah mentions that when you say Ashrei Yoshvei Beitecha, even in Mincha you're supposed to sit. Right? And it's davka. And it was just like there is a time for standing in tefillah, there's a time for sitting in tefillah as well. I imagine that that's the drasha. Rambam doesn't say what his source is.
It's farming don't do this in tefillah to find, because if you're not a tzaddik like you're supposed to be, you shouldn't...
Sfarim? I don't know which Sfarim. Many Sfarim do Nifilat Apayim. Maybe some of the Edot. Kumo chen ha-yeshiva b'ta'anit more al ha-shimush ha-sikhli she-yilave la-adam b'ta'anito. Here's another aspect of Lashevet, a third aspect. This is what Yeshua referred to before. When one goes to learn Torah, he goes to a yeshiva.
No.
Right? To sit is the intellectual aspect of the Ta'anit. So we see that Ta'anit, first explanation is to get your whole self into it. Second of all is the idea of prayer, tefillah, l'shevet in tefillah. And the third is the learning aspect, ha-shimush ha-sikhli she-ilave la-adam b'ta'anito.
You also mentioned yeshuvadat.
And yeshuvadat, right. The four things, sorry. Toda.
That's the first, right?
And this is the proper way of fasting. Zeh yetzom yivchareyu Hashem v'yom ratzon lefanav. This is the type of fast. Here Rav Kook is paraphrasing two psukim in Yeshayahu, chapter 58. Where he's paraphrasing it and adapting it to our context, where this is the fast which God wants. V'yom ratzon lefanav, a day, a desirable day. In other words, there are fasts which are not desirable. If a person doesn't, if all he does is not eat, that's not a desirable fast.
And it's worse.
No, it's not the, well, better that he shouldn't.
Well, the undesirable.
By the way, there are times the Darkei Tshuva brings down the Pitchei Tshuva in Yoredei and Ilchot Talmud Torah does bring down the Halacha, and the Biur Halacha actually brings it down also, that if a person's fasting will hurt their learning Torah, he really should not accept upon himself more fasts than the minimum. Right? If you're talking about the minimum fasts, you know, Tanit Esther, the five fasts, aside from Yom Kippur, that we have no choice. That's a gzira. But if you're talking about additional fasts, which will, like on Bahab, right? Sheni, Chamishi, and Sheni, Monday, Thursday, and Monday after a Chag, or in Shovavim, or different fasts like that. The poskim say really one is better off not fasting. In a case like that, what you do is also, if you want to, so you give that money to tzedakah and spend more time learning Torah.
There's also the aspect that when you fast, you are more likely to have a short temper, and you are more likely to think that you are a really holy Joe compared to the other guy who's not fasting.
And not only do you have a temper, also a lot of people, if you're getting paid a wage, your salary by a boss, and you're not putting in a good, honest work day, that's a problem of geneva, it's stealing. In other words, it's not pashut to fast. The idea where Rav Kook stresses here that the last thing that a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do is to be unhappy campers, and that it davka hurts an avodat Hashem, is something that he elaborates in a long letter to Rav Charlap, which we don't have time to go through. But it's interesting. This is his very first letter to Rav Charlap. Rav Yaakov Moshe Charlap, was a prodigy. At a very young age, he was recognized as a great budding Torah scholar. He was made the Rav of Shaarei Chesed, an important Torah community in Yerushalayim, at a very young age. And he was a student of Rav Tzvi Michal Shapira. He was one of the leading rabbis in Yerushalayim. And he was sick a lot. Rav Chalap used to fast a lot, and the doctors told him he had to go to Yafo to go to the beach, to soak up some sun, to go swimming a little, to be healthy. And that's where he met Rav Kook, and not on the beach, but in Yafo. Rav Kook was the chief rabbi of Yafo at the time, and he was blown away by Rav Kook's tzidkut. There are two stories, that of the Nazir and that of Rav Charlap. I mix up the two, but one was turned on by the Akedamot of Rav Kook, and the other was turned on by the Akedat Yitzchak of Rav Kook. And what's interesting is these are both two tefillot, which most people, either they don't say or they just mumble through and they don't understand. And here you had a rabbi who obviously Gedolei Ador have a tendency in general to spend most of their time, as much as their time, learning. And davening is something that you have to do, but you don't spend... it's known in many yeshivot, without mentioning names, that even the Rabbanim opened up a sefer and learned during Chazarat HaShatz, or things like that. And Rav Kook was extremely out of the ordinary. That, in the words of Chazal, Zman tefila l'chud uzman Torah l'chud. You have a lot of people who, I do some work in the archives of Beit Rav Kook, and you see that there's a sidra, a lot of interviews with people who knew Rav Kook. And one of the things that anybody who saw him daven, not like the women and not the little children, but the men who remember him davening, they all mentioned that his davening was something out of the ordinary. And nevertheless, when it comes to when Rav Charlap asks him, Rav Charlap started editing the writings of his first Rebbe, Rav Tzvi Michal Shapira, who was into fasting and sigufim and not enjoying the physical aspects of this world. And Rav Charlap asked Rav Kook about it. And Rav Kook answers him as follows. Ikar derech ha-prishut va-siguf ha-nilve ima kafi midata. The way of prishut, he doesn't mention directly his Rebbe, that he mentions in the previous paragraph, the abstinence that Rav Shapira used to practice. Rav Kook is saying, he mishubachat rak kafi ota mida shel ora elyona shel oneg Hashem. It's only good for people whose fasting will bring them pleasure of God. In other words, if your fasting brings you happiness and serving Hashem with pleasure, then that's very good. And he goes on to bring Ha'or Azeh Elyon Amemalei Et HaNeshama Pnimit Uz VeKoach. Right, the light of Torah is supposed to strengthen the person with Uz, with strength. Ziv Chaim, shining of light. Chedvat Emet, a happy, true happiness. The Hu Doche Be'oro HaGadol Et Kol HaDagot VaTirdot. And that is the light of the Torah, which is supposed to do away with the headaches and the smallness of the physical world. But the problem is, almost nobody in our generation, he says, is on that level anymore. Maybe at one point they were. He doesn't go into detail. I will mention something that I mentioned last week, Mamash, at the end. And here it really fits more into context in this context, where Mamare Riyah, page 235, Rav Kook talks about that the Tzadikei Hador, who abstain a lot and despise the physical world, and they like to fast a lot, he says, this is a siman shaba kilkul le'olam, that the world has become corrupt. Because that is not the natural situation. If somebody is sick, in order to heal himself, you need bitter medicine. You need shock treatment. A person who's spiritually healthy does not need fasting. And that's why the Torah, he goes on to say here, that's why there's only one Yom Kippur a year. And right after Yom Kippur, what's the last halakha of Yom Kippur? Go build a sukkah. Zman simchatenu. There is go back to life. He continues to Rav Charlap in this letter. It's in page 78 in the first part of Igrot Rav Kook, in the letters of Rav Kook. Ayin Gimel, 73. He talks about rising to the level of the Nevi'im, of the prophets. Now, all of us know that the idea of Ena Shechina Shura Ela B'makom Simcha, that in order to be a prophet, you have to be happy. Now, it doesn't say regarding many of the prophets, by some of the prophets it does mention that by Elisha, right? Vayichinagin hamanagin, that they would play the harp in order to get into the godly happiness. Or by Yitzchak, he says to Esav, bring me meat so that I can bless you with God's bracha. And Rabbeinu Bachaye and Ramban and others say, what does that have to do with meat? The idea is that righteous people, when do they get the Shechina? When they're in a good mood. So if your Rebbe Rav Shapira, his fast really got him into a good mood. They didn't make him edgy.
Did it?
Rav Kook, again, that's why it's very clear that Rav Kook does not relate specifically to Rav Shapira. A, I don't know how well he knew Rav Shapira. And B, obviously, when directing yourself to a person in Hadracha, the way of... For sure, Rav Kook was always positive. Exactly. You don't put down his previous Rebbe.
Right.
Yeah.
What about prophets who were unhappy? For example, I mean, two obvious examples for me would be Yirmiyahu and Yonah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What about them?
That's a good question. In general, Chazal say that once a person is zochet to nevuah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him what he needs to tell him. But the question, who's going to get nevuah, is going to get prophecy in the first place? Only somebody whose main avodat Hashem is simcha.
How does that then...
That also, by the way, is the Gemara in Shabbat, which says that in order to get prophecy, you have to be happy, you have to be wealthy and strong and physically...
But Yaakov Avinu lost it, right, because he was suffering over the loss of Yosef.
Also true.
So,
that's the same idea.
No, it seems a contradiction.
Why? He lost his prophecy. because he was unhappy.
Right. So why did Netanyahu lose that prophecy when they're unhappy?
So I guess if Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to tell Am Yisrael to do tshuva, even if it's something that brings every prophet that's going to get a negative prophecy is going to be unhappy. So what, according to your question, there wouldn't be any such prophecy as negative or about Geulah. So again, the answer is, in general, by the way, when you say by Yaakov Avinu, that's a midrash. If you have to choose between a midrash and pshat, and also in general, the direction of Chazal, the basar, vayachin nagin hamnagin, there are a lot more, there are a lot of explicit proofs also within Chazal, except for one midrash about Yaakov Avinu, which again, you could explain.
Or, I mean, one of the one that mentioned about, you know, bringing it up.
But if Yaakov Avinu had to give a negative nivuah, HaKadosh Baruch would have given him the negative nivuah. But, again, when Yaakov Avinu is unhappy, so he doesn't have prophecy. That's exactly the point. It's not a contradiction. But the question is, what about negative prophecies, you're saying? So the answer is, yes, there have to be negative prophecies. Who's going to get them? Somebody who, in general, is positive and is the simcha.
Maybe they get a lot of
Rav Kook goes on in his letter to Rav Charlap, and he says, "Anachnu chalushei hamezeg." We today are weaker. I don't know if it's because of pampering or because of the higher standard of living, but we're not as strong as people used to be. Nigueya tiul, umukeya batala, right? There's also nafkaminot of yardachul shala olam. The poskim bring down regarding the idea of fasting that it hurts limud Torah. Regarding it used to be, it's brought down in the Rishonim that children would fast before their bar mitzvah. And the post can say, today you're not allowed to anymore.
Really?
Yeah. Because Yardachol Shal Olam, it's also brought down, you can Google Yardachol Shal Olam, and you'll see a lot of nafkaminot la halacha. But the bottom line is... The Zohar brings down in Parshat Bamidbar that there's lichora a contradiction. It says on the one hand, Ivdu et Hashem besimcha. On the other hand, there's an identical pasuk, Ivdu et Hashem beyirah. The Zohar explains, Ha be'eretz Yisrael, ha begalut. In Eretz Yisrael, and that's where Rav Kook goes on to stress, in our generation, the stress in Avodat Hashem has to be happiness. As he writes in Ikve Atzon, on page Kufyud Aleph 111, Lo yuchal gam im yirtze, this generation, even if he wanted to, liot kafuf v'shachuach, he can't be bent. You can't bend this generation. They can't be hunched over. They can't be nebuch, this generation. No say ol v'neter, netel asher lo yuchal limtso b'tocho roshem shel or chayim, l'de'a. Veregesh, our generation is interested in serving Hashem through the light of Torah, the warmth of Torah. Ladea veregesh, we'll answer that in 2 minutes. Ask me that in 2 minutes. Through intellect, through emotion, who lo yuchal lashuv miyira. This generation is not capable of returning through fear. Aval meod mukhsharhu lashuv me'ahava. Right? That's our generation. And anyone who deals in education today knows that this is so true. What's most interesting is the end of the story with Rav Charlap. Rav Charlap, not only did he become one of the shining top three students of Rav Kook, but he actually wrote several kuntrasim, most notably Tovim Me'orot and Lechem Abirim, where he explains to the Haredi community where he grew up Rav Kook's approach towards the positive aspect of the physical world and not serving Hashem through fasts, right? And again, this is the difference between Eretz Yisrael and Galut. In Eretz Yisrael, which the prophet always likens to Or, not just Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu as well. Eretz Yisrael is the land of the light. Galut is the land of darkness. Eretz Yisrael is the land of the living, Arzot HaChaim. Galut is likened to a Beit Kvarot in Yechezkel, right? It's the land of the dead. Eretz Yisrael is the land of prophecy, of happiness. In Anuvah Shorah B'Simcha. Galut, there's no prophecy. And it's Pashut, it's two totally different ways of serving Hashem. For 2,000 years when Judaism was sick, the stress was Ivdu et Hashem B'Yirah. Now that we're coming back to Eretz Yisrael, the stress is on Ivdu et Hashem B'Simcha. Regarding Galut, Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch stressed the idea of Torah in Derech Eretz also in Galut. Rav Kook was more in the direction that this is the direction of Eretz Yisrael. Like the Chavot al Vavot says, that the more a person invests in the physical world, he's destroying the Torah. That's talking about the Galut. Now today, and you could say also 100 years ago, in the time of Rav Hirsch, 130 years ago, even in Galut, those who are coming closer to Torah, in order to bring people close to Torah, this is the Torah that has to be taught. Even though they may be located in Galut, and they're not fulfilling the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, but they are part of a generation which needs a happy Torah, which will return through the light of Torah, the emotion of Torah, through identifying with Torah, and not out of a fear of hell.
I think that today everybody, all over the world, everybody's Yiddishkeit is really being fed by Eretz Yisrael. Every serious day school graduate spends a year here at least, and everybody knows, and everybody in the Torah communities all over the world have their fingers on the pulse beat of what's going on here.
I would go so far as to say that even in the Haredi communities in America are closer to this approach than the Haredi communities in Eretz Yisrael. Whereas the Haredi communities in Eretz Yisrael, they're super conservative. In other words, they're still, as the famous saying goes, it's hard to take the Jew out of Galut. It's even more difficult to take the Galut out of the Jew. They are not in contact with the world as much as the Jews in the Chutz Laaretz, who are, whether they like it or not, are returning to the Torah of Eretz Yisrael. They're not going to get Nevuah. They're not going to get prophecy as long as they're in Galut. Nevertheless, if you ask, what is the Torah that should be taught in Galut? The answer is Torah Eretz Yisrael should be taught abroad as well.
It's changing. The Haredi community is changing too.
Inevitably.
The expiration, more or less, of the Torah Hatshah B'Chad Nish is taking place, and people are going back to Derech Eretz and so on.
Right. Also the fact that they're using computers and Kitvei Yad, and modernism is definitely coming to the Haredi world in Eretz Yisrael
like
as well.
Right.
Yeah. I'll just read one or two sentences from Av Charlap in Tovim Me'orot on page 6, where this is an answer to the attack of the Haredim on Rav Kook Sefer Orot. That's why it's called Tovim Me'orot. Play on words from Hayu lanu yamim asher kol yisod hadrachat avoda haya mechuvan b'derech ha-pirsum rak el hachna'at hara. So there were many days, obviously years, where the stress in avodat Hashem was to battle against the evil. Varchakat misarat ha-chayim, to withdraw from the physical world. V'ze haya b'tor ho-ra'at sha'a. And this was a temporary necessity. When we were rolling from pogrom to pogrom, from exile to exile, where the soil, here is making a play on, where a double meaning, the very soil, the rocks, the physical world of Galut, has the halakha of tuma, is unholy. What is tuma? Like tumat mate, a dead person. It's all body, no spirit. Now, something which is all body, no soul, that's dead. That's tamei. So why should we participate in anything physical in the galut? Lifnei hidgaluto shel atchalat ketz amegule. All of this was before the trees and the fruit of Eretz Yisrael started sprouting. Shehin nihirat Yisrael Eretz Yisrael l'shem geula. Now that we are coming back to the land, we're flowing back to the land for the redemption. Ubinyan, and rebuilding, the return to Torah Chaim. Excuse me, to the Yivduat Hashem b'simcha, serving Hashem in happiness, not through fasting. Avalochenata, shinenu shavim le'eretz chemdatenu. We are now returning to our beloved land, l'shem tkumata ge'ula. We can no longer make do bidarkei kvisha v'achna'at hara levad. We can't keep fighting the bad, right? It's like one of my students once said when they were going to Chutz Laaretz after their year in Israel, they had to go for 3-4 years to university in America. So she said, I hope I don't fall spiritually. So I said to her, that's a pretty sad wish, right? That your whole wish is not to fall. But that's exactly what Rav Chalap is saying. Saying in Galut, everything around is bad, so your greatest hope is to tread water. Just tread water, don't sink.
Isolate yourself in the Beit Midrash and not be as little involved in what's going on outside as possible.
Yeah, exactly. I don't remember if we mentioned it here recently, that the beautiful mashal, the difference between Or and Choshech, between Eretz Yisrael, which is likened to light, and Choshech, is that when you come into a dark room, the more furniture that there is, the more you stumble, if it's dark. If a room is light, then the furniture and the plants, it adds more to life. In Galut, it's darkness. And the more furniture, the more topics that you have, going to work and serving in the army and building houses and all that stuff, it's Bitul Torah. And it's just going to, you're just going to stumble and you're going to assimilate. On the other hand, Eretz Yisrael, where the stress is on Or, is on light, so the plants and the furniture and the army and the work and the settling, etc., etc., all of this adds to the beauty of life. And that, again, is the difference between Torat Chaim of Artzot Chaim, of the happiness of Yivduat Hashem B'Simcha. Getting back to the idea of the fast, Rav Kook here, the topic is fasting. So he does talk about fasting. But you have to put this in the context of Rav Kook, where he himself says, our Father in Heaven is not interested in us becoming sad. And in our generation, fasts usually make a person sad, and that's why the stress doesn't have to be. When a person does fast, though, remember these 4 points that we mentioned.
Yeah.